Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right, kicking off hour number two of today's edition of The Home Team, presented by Athens Technical College. Your passion, your future elevated. Chris and Jeff with you till 7. We'll head off into the weekend, a holiday weekend, and hopefully the weather will be pretty good to maybe step outside and stretch our legs a little bit. But there's been some positive news today out of the SEC and college sports, and we'll talk about that and more in today's edition of The 5 at 5, brought to you by Duplicating Systems. More than a system, a solution. And Jeff, we'll start with the news today. Georgia says it'll open up June 8th. That's the date schools can do it. Doesn't mean they all have to, but Georgia's going to go ahead and start getting its players back on campus and able to work out on that date, June the 8th. There are a lot of measures the schools will have to take as far as testing and following guidelines and, you know, sanitation, social distancing, and all that good stuff. But how does this make you feel in regards to the season opening up on time in Atlanta against Virginia? Where do you think we stand there?
Well, I think it's great news that everybody's getting back, and I think we should be. All the proper precautions are going to be taken, and I know all the kids are going to be excited. All the coaches are going to be excited, and it's a good sign for us getting back to work. You know, we talked about those awful hours, Bramer, that night of March 11th, then on into March 12th. You're talking about things getting real when the game stopped, and you know, to get everybody back on campus, I think it's going to be very exciting, and not just for football, but for men's and women's basketball as well. And I know all the kids are going to be jacked up. I know the coaches are going to be jacked up. And one of the things I'd mentioned that I did a little piece with Kirby a couple of days ago, and he was talking about, obviously, you know, the players for all the schools, they're working out at home, or maybe they're working out in high school gymnasiums or wherever it may be. And I think that's one thing that the coaches have said, and I'm sure – you know, the guys, they're taking the best precautions they can, but when they get back on campus, they know it's going to be in the safest environment possible. So I think that's another positive to it.
Well, we know that gyms have been allowed to reopen, but it's not like any of these gyms are in a position where they can test every single person that comes through its door. So if a player wants to go on his own and, you know, work out someplace, you're not going to be able to be 100% certain that you're not possibly going to be exposed to it. Where, you know, with the precautions being taken here, the players will be tested routinely, and you know, if a positive does turn up, they'll be able to just isolate them and you know, let them recover for a couple of weeks on their own. So at least they'll have a better sense of the people that they're around, whether or not they're healthy and whatnot. But it's just, We've definitely gotten to a point where, we obviously have to figure out good, safe, sensible ways to just go on living with, you know, with this virus still out there as a reality. I mean, I think it's dangerous to minimize the potential risk of it, or just, you know, say like, well, it only affects certain age groups more harshly than others, because certainly 20-somethings are not the only people required to operate college campuses or even college athletics.
Well, I mean, I think there's just for everything, there's a lot of common sense that's got to be involved in here, too. And this is the type of stuff we said that should have been there before. Like, if you're sick, don't go out. If you're vulnerable, I mean, and we've all got family and friends who might have some medical conditions that that it would not be safe for you. You really have to be extra cautious. So, yeah, I think a lot of this is just use good common sense with this.
Yeah, and man, I think that's where we've gotten. We can't just stay shut in our houses.
No, that's not
forever.
Healthy either.
So,
and, you know, because here's the thing, too. Would you rather, and again, if you didn't have an underlying condition here, like, and Brahm, you're very healthy. We all know that, because what is your body?
It's a temple.
Well, that's all right. And I try to, I know, like, for me, yeah, we're not going to get political on this. I would rather catch COVID than lose my job. And, you know, the unemployed, there are 37 million people have filed for unemployment. At some point, we got to get back to work. And to me, this is a very good sign. And getting sports back, because it's not just about the games, as we know. I mean, you probably know better. What is it, $100 billion industry in the country?
Well, yeah, I mean, sports are, they're popular. That's why there's so much money at stake for these professional leagues and these schools. So they are important. And, you know, the reason why they are so valuable and they bring in so much money is because there's an audience there that wants to that wants to see it, whether they're attending games in person or watching them on television. But you just have to, what you hope for is that, the people in charge are able to, you know, to put good common sense plans in place that will keep everybody safe and avoid having this maybe resurface and just having another round of what we just went through the last couple of weeks. Because I think there is a medium where you have to get back to living, because I think we have to accept the fact that we're going to have to deal with this being around. It's not going to go away. And, you read stuff about a vaccine, it might take 18 months, but I think the fastest a vaccine was ever developed is it took 4 years for a mumps vaccine, because there are different stages to getting one, and then once there is one, there are several different phases of testing, and these are things that actually take years and years to actually develop, if you ever are able to even come up with one. So, even the thought of like, well, we're not going to be able to do this or that until there's a vaccine,
that's not realistic.
We have to, you know, be able to accept that we've got to find ways to go on living, but do so safely and smartly and bring things back. And it sounds like, you know, the SEC and Georgia are, we're going to try and do that.
By the way, Bray, I just flipped to ESPN.com. There's a picture of Roger Goodell and Adam Silver.
Yeah.
Adam Silver's an interesting looking guy.
Yeah. He's very tall and thin, and he's bald headed.
I mean, he looks like the gray aliens.
Yeah. I like them, though. They might set up in Disney and resume their season.
I think that's
awesome.
I think they should go half Disney, half Vegas.
Yeah. To me, I guess it just comes down to, I don't know what, you know, how open Vegas is or what their status is. We do know that Florida said, hey, we're open. And so
Absolutely.
The NBA thought, well, you know what they've got a lot of at Disney? Hotels.
Got a lot of hotels. They got a lot of places to play games. That would be a neat thing. I would assume if the NBA and NHL, and you mentioned yesterday, Bramer, the NHL's plan of basically jumping into the playoffs, I would guess the NBA would do the same thing. But I mean, could it be a deal depending on the number of available arenas? You know, could we have maybe, you know, this would be like, I guess, the old days in Philly in the Palestra with the Big Five. You know, could we have two or three games in a day at some of these places?
Yeah, maybe. Just like the, you know, like those AAU games or those old tournaments you'd play in when you were a kid. Yeah, I saw a potential bracket for the, for what the NHL has talked about. Like we mentioned yesterday, the NHL and the NBA are kind of the opposite, where the NBA has a plan of like maybe a location and when they might start. We don't know yet whether or not they would just jump into the playoffs or maybe finish up the regular season, where the NHL looks like they just want to go into a playoff, but there's no idea of like, well, where would this take place and when would it take place? But they've got...
Well, hadn't the NHL... I think they nixed this, but hadn't they even brought up like the campus of North Dakota, maybe?
That was a while ago. I haven't heard anything since then on that one. Apparently the arena up there is named for somebody that is, you know, possibly not the most honorable human being, somehow the NHL would.
I got you. Yeah, but say no more.
Yeah, but anyway, like the top four seeds would be Boston, Tampa, a logo I don't recognize, and the Flyers. I have no idea what this team is I'm looking at. Then you'd have the Blues, the Avalanche, the Golden Knights, and the Dallas Stars.
Our Las Vegas Golden Knights.
Yeah, and they would play then for seeding, which would also get them a chance to, you know, just see some action, where then you'd have a bracket where you'd have 5 plays 12, 8 plays 9, 7 plays 10, 6 plays 11. And then
the four winners would advance to play the four with the byes.
Yeah.
So it'd basically be like the NFL playoffs.
Right, but those seeds would be, I guess they'd play some sort of a round robin to determine who was the one seed and on, but they might want to find out who wins those things first, because it's like, the one seed would just have to play the winner of the 8-9 matchup, whereas, well, what if the 12 upsets the 5?
Exactly.
Yeah, so they've just got it completely bracketed out. I'm still I have no idea what team this is with this logo. It looks like a bird.
Well, it's not the Winnipeg Jets.
Yeah, it's one of the Eastern Conference teams.
It wouldn't be the Ottawa Senators. I mean, obviously you know the Flyers and the Bruins and the Maple Leafs, all those old teams.
Yeah, I mean, I've got the other ones because you've got the Leafs, the Penguins, the Capitals, or not the Capitals, but the – oh, maybe that's who it is. It's the Capitals. Because the bird does look like a W.
Okay.
And then you've got the Islanders, the Canadiens, the Hurricanes, the Rangers. I'm going to say that's the Washington Capitals, but that is a logo.
Is it a bad logo?
Yeah, because it's not what their logo used to be. Because I know the Capitals logo,
yeah,
what it looked like.
A hockey stick.
And it said Capitals.
Yeah, and it had, I think, a star over the eye.
Yeah. I mean, this is like a bird, and it is its wings are out, so it makes it look like a W.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, well, anyway.
That's a bad idea. Bad logo, but a good team.
Yeah. All right, moving on in the 5 at 5, Jeff. You mentioned college baseball exploring a later start, which would push back the College World Series into what, July?
Yeah, here's the deal, and Dave sent me this morning, and in fact, Coach Strickland, he said the big deals right now would be the city of Omaha, them approving it, getting ESPN with the contracts. But essentially, there's a long story out there, but there's a panel that puts together baseball rules. It's got former head coaches and current head coaches. Like the coach at Michigan, Eric Bakich, is on it. Brian O'Connor from Virginia. Mike Bianco from Ole Miss. Josh Holliday from Okie State. So some big names out there. And this is pretty cool, too. They've got Dr. James Andrews in on some of their calls. I think the big picture of this is – they're just trying to get, and I think for financial sustainability as well. And listen, I'm all for, if it meant the betterment of the game, giving up some of our edges in the SEC, but just given the Big Ten, you know, given the upper part of the Big 12, the northwest part of the Pac-12, although, you know, Oregon State did just fine, and some of these northeastern schools, bringing them legitimately into play, having the schools down here play with better weather. So what this would mean would be starting the regular season instead of when we do it now, it's like the...
like Valentine's.
Yeah, it's basically the second Friday of February. We would now start in the third week of March, and basically everything would just be pushed back. So then you would think the SEC tournament would be into June, and the playoffs would start in early July, and the World Series would finish in July. I'm all for it. I think you got a couple of advantages. And again, I think that you could see the game, and it's such a great game, explode even more if you do have legitimately, like, I thought it was great that Michigan was in the finals. And so now if Ohio State's good, like Minnesota used to be really good, now in the SEC, Missouri, hey, they might actually get a decent press box there. But to me, the big thing would be bringing the Big Ten in there. You would open it up for more schools. And because, you know, how many times have we seen like who it was Stony Brook who went down and beat LSU or when St. John's made it? I mean, it's borderline miraculous for that to happen. And I think another plus to it, I got two of them for you, front end and back end. You're not competing you know, except for maybe a week or two, and be with the NCAA tournament with basketball. So, like, we did have that great weekend, and I like playing Tech early, but at the same time, you had men's and women's hoops that weekend. So you're kind of dividing that up. And then also, you're cutting the gap between the end of baseball season and the football season.
Yeah, I know that'll help the off season and the dog days of summer, but it does make February now even bleaker.
February's tough, but I mean, and now you never know. Of course, as we know here, the weather in February, it might snow one weekend and then the next weekend be 80. I mean, that's Georgia in February. But I just think you're also, if you're starting into March, yeah, you're still, I mean, heck, good gosh, it was cold 2 days ago. But you're just cutting down on the awful weather you're going to play through. And also for the northern schools, they might only have, you know, 3 weeks of the weather really stinking and being unplayable as opposed to 2 months.
Yeah, maybe those schools wouldn't have to basically barnstorm their first 20 games, right, where they don't even play a home game until.
And that's not healthy either. Like Missouri does that. They're basically gone for 3 weeks. I mean, so they go to class, they go somewhere for 3 days, they come back, go to class. Then for spring break, they're gone for like 9 days. That's brutal.
The third week of March seems crazy, though, because that's usually what? Is that like the second weekend of SEC play now? How it's.
Yeah, it basically pushed things back, depending on how the calendar fell, by the way, either 4 or 5 weeks.
Would you have the same number of non-conference weekends?
I believe so. And I think another thing, too, that college baseball is looking at, it's like this is a sport that is tremendously popular. The College World Series amongst the NCAA, so that's not talking about the bowls and the playoffs, but amongst the NCAA, only the NCAA basketball tournament makes more money. Omaha's a huge deal. I think we've seen, too, with – and Bramer, we could certainly feel it here with those great runs we had in the 2000s. Football magazines are starting to come out. Baseball games that mean something are being played. We all love baseball, but, I mean, let's face it. If you've got a chance, if you're a Dogs fan and you're watching Georgia and Clemson play to go to Omaha – you know, and I get it, you might love the Braves, but they're playing the Marlins for the 14th of 19 times. And then, you know, it gets you juice for football as well. So I think the emerging popularity of it, and I've got to think what Michigan did last year. And, man, they had a boatload of fans in Omaha. They played in that opening tournament down in Scottsdale. They had a boatload of fans there. And we looked it up that night. They were playing Vandy down in Scottsdale. I mean, it was 12 degrees in Ann Arbor. So, heck, yeah, that's a great trip to take. So it's one of these that, again, it's kind of like the December through August NBA model. There might be some negatives on it, but I can't find them. And I would absolutely vote for it 100%.
All right, moving on in the 5 at 5.
Well, I mean, would you vote for it too?
To start the college baseball season later and have it last deeper into June? Yeah, sure. I would do that. Because
yeah,
it is like those games in February and early March, it is even here. It could still be chilly. You could have, you know, the rain. I mean, I guess it could rain at any time of year, but it is. It's the cold is the one thing when you get those games that are, you know, temperatures still in the 40s and the 30s. It's just not fun.
No, it's brutal.
But we do need something then for February, because it's such a bleak month already.
Well, and then maybe that's the thing too, and I think we're seeing more and more of it. So maybe that would be a platform for, you know, sports like tennis, and obviously you'd have to have a lot of them indoors, maybe to get some more exposure. You know, I've said, and again, you know, February would be a bad month of example for golf, but I'd like to see golf cut in half the number of tournaments they're playing during the season. I think that's something that might happen. I mean, just the feasibility right now with the economic situation of, you know, flying to Puerto Rico and Pebble Beach and Hawaii. You know, when you could say, well, let's get Georgia and Tech at the UGA golf course for you know, a head-to-head duel match.
Do you think it could, this thought was just going through my head, could it actually improve scheduling for some schools? In other words, some of these teams that just, say Georgia, for example, like Georgia's playing UMass Lowell because UMass Lowell can't play at home, But maybe UMass Lowell now, they can play at home, so they can schedule Stony Brook to have to play at home, and then that way they're like, well, there's
we could play Notre Dame.
Exactly. That's what I'm trying to driving at.
Yeah, and I agree, because the one thing, like what we do in the SEC, the way you play 4 weeks of non-conference play, then you have 10 straight conference weeks. So it never made it, and you know, we've done a great job through the years playing the likes of Florida State, Southern Cal, you know, Baylor, Oregon State, getting these teams in here.
The last couple years, though, have been rotten.
Well, that's a reason, too, why we moved that Tech game up. But the deal is, you know, like Purdue came down here in 2008. We're obviously not going to return that series. You're not going to go to West Lafayette, Indiana at the end of February. But now if you're, say, starting at the end of March, maybe in week three or week four, you could say, all right, well, you know, we could play Ohio State.
Yeah.
I think it would open up some things.
Because, like, say, like, because the 2019 schedule was the one, and I guess there was, we were supposed to play somebody and it got nixed or something.
It did, yes. I can't remember who it was, but somebody had to back out at the last second. So we had to find somebody last second.
Yeah, but that was one where it was like, whoever came up with that schedule should be embarrassed. But so, like, maybe Dayton and UMass Lowell, they could play each other one weekend home, and then that way there, like, there's no Dayton or UMass Lowell for Georgia to play. They have to play someone like Ohio State.
I think that would be another absolute perk to it, because basically now you've got the SEC and the Pac-12 and then the Big 12 schools in Texas. All the northern schools are looking to get there, or you know, to play one of the, you know, Florida's got, you know, Florida Atlantic, Stetson, Central Florida, so many good teams. That's where all those northern teams are trying to get.
All right, moving on in the 5 at 5, Jeff. I am. I'm actually excited about this golf match on Sunday. I don't know if you are or not.
Yeah, I think. But now, my friend Spencer was telling me they're even doing stuff like they're going to play a hole or two where, you know, you're only allowed to use one club.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, and I think he told me Barkley's going to come out and play a hole with him or something. So it could be really good.
Well, I'm fascinated as to, because I'm. Last week, the event that they had, there were no caddies. The guys carried their own bags. Tiger and Phil don't strike me as carry their own bags kind of guys.
When's the last time they did that, you think?
Right. And so, like, who's going to caddy for Brady and Peyton?
Well,
could it be Giselle?
I was just thinking that.
And
I don't
Eli.
Know. Is Peyton married?
Yeah, he is.
Okay.
Well, what about Eli, though?
Giselle and Eli as the caddies?
Yeah.
I think that's a good idea.
That'd be fun. But, you know, was it the last Thanksgiving when Tiger and Phil had that?
Yes.
It was just last Thanksgiving, right?
Yes.
For some reason, I feel like it was longer than that. But Phil beat him. So do you think that revenge will motivate Tiger on Sunday? I mean, is this essentially, even though Brady and Manning are tagging along, is this just Tiger versus Phil, though?
I think it is, with a little less pressure, because it's going to be fun. And, in fact, there was a good piece on either PGA.com or ESPN.com it's on ESPN.com. And it is pretty cool. Like, those guys, and obviously they were big rivals, but they didn't like each other very much. But I think it's one of those deals, too, is, you know, Tiger's, how's Tiger?
They've mellowed.
Yeah, 44, and Phil's going to be 50 on Father's Day. It's like, all right, we've both had extraordinary careers and have made an insane amount of money, and when we're both good, it's a good thing for the game. And you know, I really have no reason to hate you, you know, other than, you know,
well,
you
they
want
were rivals, so
sure,
I get that.
It happens, but I do like that they've mellowed on that front, and that they've become friends. I think that's a good thing.
Because remember when it was like a disaster that they were paired that one year in the Ryder Cup.
Oh my God. Yeah, that was just a horrible idea.
Yeah.
That's just
they, you know, just got smoked.
Because I remember, like, when I was a kid, Bramer, you'll appreciate this, like at Wimbledon, and I think it was in, it might have been in 82, Connors beat McEnroe at Wimbledon. And so we were watching the doubles, and I asked my dad, I said, how do they choose who plays doubles? And he said, well, you know, anybody can play together. You know, they just, they go, wait, they don't tell them who? And he goes, yeah. And said, well, so the two, I go, well, what if like McEnroe and Connors played together? And he goes, I don't think that would work. And I was like, oh, well, you know, they're the two best guys. Well, that would have been a disaster. And Tiger and Phil together, that was a disaster.
Yeah.
Although now I think they'd be great together.
Yeah, I think they'd be fine. But here's like, there's so many like unknowns here. First, we have no idea how much these guys have played golf. Like last week, it looked like Dustin Johnson had, those were the first shots he had hit in a several weeks.
He said he hadn't touched the club in 50 days.
Well, there you go. And it looked like it. And so the last we knew about Tiger is he wasn't playing because he got a bad back. So it's, you know, we have no idea how healthy he is, but you know, Phil did get him last year in that match play event that they had in Vegas. So maybe Tiger will be a little extra motivated to get him back. I know I'm rooting for Tiger and Peyton though. I don't want Brady winning, but
quick question: do you know where they're playing this?
I do, but I don't.
Okay,
it's Yeah, I'd have to like. I'd have to look it up.
Because they were at Seminole last week.
Yeah, they're at a different course this time around.
Where is Tiger, Brady, Peyton?
Medalist Golf Club.
Okay, where is that? Does it say?
It is. I assume it's in Florida somewhere.
It is.
Yeah.
The four players who complete at Medalist Golf Club in Hobie Sound, Florida. Sounds like the kind of place that probably wouldn't have us as members.
Probably not. Yeah. So Medalist Golf Club. I don't know anything about it. Never heard of it.
It's probably very nice.
I'm going to guess it is, yeah.
No, but I think that'll be a lot of fun.
It's not a Muni.
No. Is that a par 3 course down there?
Yeah. But no, I am looking forward to it. And, you know, because you just, it's Tiger, Phil, and Manning and Brady. I'm actually more curious to see what kind of game Manning and Brady have. Apparently, they're both single-digit handicaps. I know that probably stuns you.
Oh, sure. Yeah, that's ridiculous how good those quarterbacks are. And I was talking with my brother-in-law Spencer, who's a golf nut, and he was telling me all sorts of stuff. He said, yeah, I think on one hole they're only going to be able to like use one club out of their bag, so like a 5-iron. He said, I swear I think Barkley's going to come out and play a hole with him. He said, I think on one hole they're going to go up and like the quarterbacks are going to hit on a par 3 from the ladies' tees or something like that. So I think they're going to spruce it up, which will be cool. Because, again, the problem with last weekend was that – you know, when you got one foursome, we talked about this with Cuts on Monday, everybody hits their tee shots, that's a lot of downtime. Whereas when golf's at its best, it's, you know, if it's the first two rounds, you know, you've got, you know, a million guys out on the course, you're going from shot to shot, there's really not much downtime. And then on Saturday and Sunday, you're focusing in on the leaders, but there's still enough guys on the course that you're going through very little downtime between shots. And then by the time you do get to the last group, you've had nothing but action, and now you've got the drama that's built up to it, so you can really talk through it. But having an entire round like that, that's yet another reason why there's no more match play for major championships.
One thing that would have spruced up last week would have been if in between shots, the players would have interacted more with each other. And so hopefully we'll see. I mean, because when you've got like four personalities, like we're going to have Sunday with those four guys, I mean, you certainly hope that they're like cutting up and talking and, you know, reacting to each other in between shots, because that'll definitely help. You can just, I can stomach watching a couple guys walk to their golf balls, you know, if it's Peyton Manning and Tom Brady and they're, you know, they're having some sort of dialogue.
And Manning is tremendously funny.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he's the type of, you know, people talked about him getting in the coach, and I'm like, that. Nah, I think he even turned to TV. I mean, he could get a sitcom or be in movies.
He's been a phenomenal Saturday Night Live host, whereas Brady was – he was bad when he hosted.
No,
it.
Brady's –
but Manning's was great.
Stiff, yeah. But, no, Peyton's definitely got the personality. I mean, his – you know, his future, if he wants to stay in the limelight, again, I mean, I don't know if he would want to become a permanent sitcom star, but he could make a nice, healthy, supplemental living. I mean, even those insurance commercials he does with Brad Paisley, they're terrific.
Yeah. No, he's got good delivery, good comic timing.
Yeah, he's good.
All right, so that's the 5 at 5, brought to you by Duplicating Systems. More than a system, a solution.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.